Bless the Lord. Yes, my dear Sister Mary. Yes, we are going back now to our studies. And remember the overall theme of our study, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. That's the overall theme of our study as we are looking in the book of Acts. And so we're going to go to chapter 11 tonight. We spent a long time in 10, and for good reasons. But when I look on 11, I see where we are almost going to repeat the things that we said in chapter 10.
Okay.
Because it is a very, chapter 11 is a very interesting chapter. And as I said to you, we are Gentiles. And to see how the Lord make way to get us involved in the body, it is very interesting, and we need to pay some attention to it. And so that's why we're going to take a look in 11 to see what 11 has to say to us. You know, if there is a theme that you would want to give to Acts chapter 11. In my mind, the theme would be the unifying of the Jews and Gentiles in the mm-hmm. body of Christ.
Christ, amen.
Because 11 mm-hmm. speaks very much so to that. The unifying of the Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. And you know something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, he said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit." The oneness which is established by God, the unifying of people coming into one. That is what we are seeing here in chapter 11. Chapter 10 was the official introduction of the Gentile into the kingdom of God. You remember Peter went and spoke to Cornelius and informed him of things that the Lord wanted to say to him. It was the official introduction of the Gentile into the kingdom of God. But here we find the unifying of the Gentile and Jews into the body of Christ. And that makes a lot of difference for us tonight as we study his word. And let me, before we go any further, let me say to the church that Peter repeated in chapter 11, but in chapter 10, it tells us that Peter saw in a vision a sheet came down from heaven, neat at four corners, and inside there he saw these animal of different description. And there is a voice that came from heaven that says, "Arise, kill and eat." And Peter was able to say, when he looked in there and he saw where there were animals that were forbidden, that men should not eat, and he saw those animals in there, and he said, Lord. He has not eaten anything. Not so, Lord.
Come, Lord.
For I have not eaten anything that is common nor unclean. Then the Lord said to him, what I have cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean. And we sometimes we can find that sheet only to the experience of Peter and Cornelius, the Gentile. And of course, that is a central, that is a base reason for that vision. But there is, as I went back and look on it again, there is something a little broader than what we narrow it down to in the sense of Cornelius and Peter. That sheet represents the church. That sheet represents the universal body of Christ. It represents the church as well. And one of the thought that support the fact that it represents the church, what Peter saw in there represents people of different walks, different background, different thoughts, different minds, different occupations, what Peter saw in that sheet. And there is a passage here that I believe speaks to this, that I am going to read to us before we go into Peter's reply to the reaction of the Jews in Jerusalem. And this one in many of you are familiar with it. It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 9 to 11. I'm going to read. Bear in mind what I've just said. Peter saw a sheet from heaven in a vision. And in that sheet, nip at four corners, are all different type of animals. Peter looked in there and he saw animals that in his opinion were unclean. And therefore he refused to rise, kill and eat, because he said he has never eaten anything common or unclean. But the voice said, what I have cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean. So let us look on this passage of scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verse 9 to verse 11. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor infeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this verse. Listen to this verse, saints. Verse 11. And such were some of you. What Peter saw in that sheet Of such were some of us. It is a wide picture of the vision that he saw. It was a church that he saw, and the composition that make up the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right throughout the body of Christ, through the entire world, the church as we know it is made up of robbers, past murderers, past fornicators, past adulterers, past all the different things that Paul mentioned here. The people of this nature are in the church. That's why Paul was said, I said here, and such were some of you. The very thing that Peter saw in that sheet, the composition that made up the animal in that sheet, is the same composition that made up the church today. We are not all from clean, if you want to put it that way, background. There was some flaw somewhere along the line with some of us. There was some flaw. Homosexual has become part of the church. They have ceased to practice being homosexual and now embrace the Lord Jesus. Lesbianism. People walk away from it and are in the church praising God. All of these things which could be dubbed unclean, that Peter saw in that sheet. The Lord said, "What I have cleansed." Listen to that word. The Lord said to him, "What I have cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean." Peter got a vision of the wider church. To see that all these people who were indulged in these practices that I've just read here from the Apostle Paul have now become the children of God, have now become saints, have now become people who are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And they are part of the body of Christ. But let me finish read verse 11 again. And bear in mind what the Lord said to Peter, what I have cleansed. Bear that in mind. So we go back to verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And such were some of you. But ye are what? Ye are washed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Peter, what I have cleansed. And here, the word of the Lord is saying, but they are washed. But ye are washed. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Complete turnaround in the life of people. That vision that he saw, that sheet that he saw, takes on a wider implication, a wider meaning. Not only that, it refers to the Gentiles then, but it was, the Lord was opening up the composition of the church to him. The church is going to be the people that is going to be drawn into the church, the different background that they are going to come from, to build up what is called the body of Christ. The Lord was able to use that sheet and to show Peter the very composition of the makeup of the church. And my feeling, I said, Lord, you're amazing. It's only you could do it, because you are speaking about a God that is all inclusive. And this helps us to understand more about what took place over in Acts chapter 10 and 11. When we use this as a background to see the God that we serve, how much mercy he is prepared to exercise in order for this kingdom of his to flourish, we have to give him the glory. We have to give him the praise for what he has done. So listen to where we are in chapter 11. And the apostles, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were at Judea heard that the Gentiles and also receive the word of God. Now, good news travels fast. Long before Peter was able to go back to Jerusalem, the news reached the brethren in Jerusalem about what had happened in Caesarea, in Cornelius' hometown. Because you remember, as a result of the persecution, all the other saints went abroad, scattered abroad overseas. It was only the apostles that were left in Jerusalem, the word tells us. And so it was to them that somebody ran and squeezed the news that something happened in Cornelius' hometown, along with Peter. And when that news reached Jerusalem, they were upset. The people of God, the servants of God, under the Holy Ghost, they were upset to hear that the Gentiles receive the salvation that they have. And not only that the Gentiles receive the salvation that they have, Peter was instrumental in it happening. The last time we spoke, one of the things that we said, that Peter himself wanted or needed healing. Peter needed to be healed from the bias that he entertained for years. The bias of not wanting the Jews to be part of the salvation plan that he has. For years, he carries this resentment against the Gentile community. It was not until when the Lord showed him that sheet and he learned the interpretation of it as a result of those who came from Cornelius to him, that the Lord was not really referring to animal, but the Lord was referring to people. And then when he came to Cornelius' house, before he started his ministry, he declared to them that God is no respecter of person. He received his own healing. His biasness was dead as a result of what God unfolded to him. And he was relieved in his spirit. knowing that this is the work of the Lord, and he needs to embrace it. So Peter has received his deliverance right there in the house of Cornelius. But the brethren in Jerusalem was quite hostile to what they have heard. According to verse 1. And verse 2 says, when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were at the circumcision contend with him. Verbal exchange went on between Peter and the rest of the disciples or apostles in Jerusalem. How dare you? How dare you to get involved with the Gentiles the way you do, the way we heard you do? You should be setting an example for all of us. You are the leader. You should be setting an example, and you should not cross the path of the Gentiles. How dare you to let down the rest of us? And the exchange between Peter and the rest was quite heavy, because Peter obeyed what the Lord had said. You know, when you examine this church, when you stop and examine this, you find that once you are convinced that you are being led by the Lord, you need to act alone, if that's the Lord's desire. Because when Cornelius sent for Peter, and Peter realized that this requires him to go into Cornelius' house and to mingle with him, Peter must have thought about the rest of the disciples in Jerusalem. And it must have crossed his mind at some point to say that, I wonder if I should go and confer with the rest of the brethren on this most important matter. Because he too was struggling vision, what he saw. What could it mean? So it must have at some point crosses his mind that he should go to the council and inform the council of this new development before he go into the Gentiles. And I want to say to the church tonight, what a good thing he did not. What a good thing he followed the leading of the Lord. Because if he had gone to Jerusalem based on the vision that he got, and based on what we're seeing here now in chapter 11, Cornelius would not have received the salvation that they receive, because it would have been blocked by the rest of apostles in Jerusalem. They would convince Peter to say that this is not of God. But Peter did not go to Jerusalem. And you know something comes to mind right here. When the Lord said to Abraham, Genesis 22. When the Lord said to Abraham, offer your son, your only son, to me as a sacrifice. And he should journey to a mountain of which he would show him where it needs to be done. Abram did not tell Sarah. Abram said nothing of the sort to Sarah. Abram gets the young man ready with the ass and all the other things that was necessary, and then move out with his servant on a journey. Sarah knew nothing. Had Sarah known, Isaac would not have left the house. And we go back to the New Testament. Saul, after he was converted, he received salvation by the Lord, and he knew that he had been changed. He knew something had happened to him. He preached the word in Damascus immediately, and he knew that he was converted. In his heart, he was a free man. And the bulk of disciples were in Jerusalem. And instead he go to them who are seasoned servants before him to get more information on this new thing that happened to him. He said, no, I consult not with them in Jerusalem, but I went down to Arabia by himself to be taught more from God about what he had just received, instead of going to Jerusalem to consult with the brethren. These things do happen, but the important thing is one will have to be sure that it is being led by the Holy Ghost. It is being directed by the Spirit of the Lord. Peter, if he had gone to Jerusalem and explained to them that he had seen this vision and he's not too sure exactly what's going on, they would have talked him out of it. Cornelius would not have received the salvation. But he instead went straight to Cornelius' house by independent of the brethren in Jerusalem and did what the Lord ask him to do. And here is Peter appearing now in Jerusalem before the rest of apostles. And a verbal dispute arise between all of them. How dare you to let us down by going on to the Gentiles. And Peter was not exercising his leadership authority. It is not. He was not coming from the standpoint that I am a leader. I am the leader for the church. I am the leader for this church here. The work that Jesus started, he has left it with me. I am the leader. I have the authority. Peter was not coming from that angle at all. Peter was not coming from that angle at all. He was not demonstrating that he has the authority to do it by virtue of the fact that he was the leader of the church. But he was coming from a standpoint of obedience to the word of God. To the word of God. When they threw their words and all the different things that they say to him, he stood there and listened. Until his son came to speak. They were upset. The brethren and these people are people who are filled with the Holy Ghost as well. And there is nowhere in the law it stated that the Jews should not mingle with the Gentiles in this form. It is not to be found anywhere at all in the law. It is just a culture that was developed. And they were following that particular culture. There is no instruction from God that it should be so. Segregation of that nature should take place. It was just a culture that they were following. Verse 2 again. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contend with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did exceed with them. Let me leave it right here for a minute and invite you to share a thought. Who would want to share a thought here?
Pastor?
Yes, my sister.
Mine is, as you said, 11 goes back to most of what is in chapter 10. About Cornelius, we know he was a Gentile, and we know that he was a devout man, one that feared God and all of this. But when the angel spoke to him, he told him, with the instruction he gave him, that Peter would tell him what he ought to do. Break it down to that. And then in 11, when Peter, 11 chapter 11, verse 14, it says, okay, let me see the verse. And he showed, 13, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, Cornelius, speaking, and that Peter would come to him. And Peter would tell thee words, which is what I'm focusing on. Peter will tell thee words whereby thee and all thy house shall be saved. So this man was already a godly man, one who feared God, but he still needed something else. And this is the something else that Peter came to tell him, and I believe it is about Jesus and the cross and everything like that. And it says, Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said. And then the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and then Peter is remarking that he remembered now the word of the Holy Ghost, which told them when he was talking about Jesus, that one would come greater than him would baptize with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so then the verse 17 says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So I'm just saying that people out there, a lot of time people say they know God and they say they're worshiping God, but they don't know the true gospel. And this is why it is important to bring the witness, to tell them about Jesus Christ, him crucified, dead, buried, and everything. The good news that he came to give, that is what people don't know. And just like Peter, we are supposed to be telling them these things. And then what I would love to see, Pastor, again in these days, that as soon as we're hearing the gospel, like how you preach the gospel, even tonight, if all of us are, whoever is online, would be baptized with the Holy Ghost afresh, you know, just like that, pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, like he did at Pentecost. And then the last verse says, when they heard these things, the other disciples, they held their peace, which is We're going to have a lot in the rest of it when you go down from 18 down. But the earlier piece, these that were there, and they glorified God, that God had also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So this is why we are here tonight, to glorify God, to know that he had given us repentance also.
Yeah.
So these are just my thoughts on these four verses, Pastor.
Well,
amen.
Those are very, very valuable thoughts, Sister Barbara. Valuable thoughts. Because you're right, you are absolutely right. What we are seeing here in 11 is just a continuation of what took place there in 10. And it is important for us tonight to realize that the behavior of the disciples in Jerusalem is the same way we probably would have behaved. Because all along they thought they were right. But I'm going to say something on that when we get down there. I want the church to really pay attention to this chapter 11. Pay some serious attention to what is going on here. Because here the believers, the Holy Ghost-filled believers in Jerusalem have this strong verbal attack on Peter, because Peter went and addressed the Gentile the way in which he did. And it is not written down in the law anywhere that level of segregation should take place. It was only a culture that they have created, that they embrace. So listen to the two main things that caused them to be upset. Not even so much given the thought of what God is doing, but what people did. That is where their focus was. Listen to the two things that caused the big upset here in their mind. It is to be found in verse 3. Acts chapter 11, verse 3. Saying, I maybe read 2 and then you will understand verse 3. When Peter came up to Jerusalem, they that were at the circumcision contend with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Those are the two things that caused them to be so upset. One, Peter went into the Gentile house. You will remember what Peter said in Acts 10, verse, I think, 28. Yes, in Acts 10, verse 28, Peter said to Cornelius, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful. It is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. When Peter was about to go into Cornelius' house, Peter rehearsed that thought, which was well known to Cornelius. And these disciples in Jerusalem knew the same line. And they did not know that Peter had cleared himself based on what God had showed him to Cornelius by repeating that very line. They in Jerusalem did not know the depth of the revelation that Peter got. And so there are two things that they were upset with Peter for. One, he went into the house of somebody who is uncircumcised. He defiled himself. He let down the believers in Jerusalem by doing that. He became unclean in their mind. And it should go against the very belief that Peter had. In other words, they're almost looking on Peter as a traitor to them for doing this. And as a gall to come back to Jerusalem and appear before them. It was a very sticky moment for Peter. The news reached Jerusalem that Peter went into the Gentile house. And the brethren in Jerusalem was mad. But listen to how the Lord arranged things here. Peter gave his testimony in verse 4. Verse 4 said, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it in order unto them. And Peter continued to say, I was in the city of Joppa praying and the rest of it. But the point I want to make here is to be found all the way down the bottom here. Let me continue to read this. I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance, and I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending. As it has been a great chief. Let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fasted mine eyes, I consider, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowl of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean at any time entered into my mouth. But a voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that thou call not common. And this was done three times. And all drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already to the house where I was sent from Cornelius unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. This is where I wanted to come to. This is where I wanted to come to in reading this passage. Peter, in reply, in addressing the brethren in Jerusalem, after they were there foaming up at the mouth, he calmly rehearsed the things that happened to him. Because there are two things that they were upset about. One, he entered into the house of a uncircumcised man. And two, he ate with them. Now to address the first charge against Peter, that's why we came down to verse 13. Peter giving his testimony in verse 13. And he showed us, Peter said, Cornelius showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. What a skillful God. What a marvelous God this. Because here they are quarreling with Peter for entering into the man's house, who they consider a sinner, who they consider an outcast, who they consider unclean, who all the negative adjectives they could use to describe Cornelius. Peter, in rehearsing what happened, tells them an angel was in there. You don't see that, church. Peter said to them, look, long before I go in there, God's angel was in there. What did the church see this? Peter said, look, before I went in Cornelius' house, the angel of God was in there. It is in there that Cornelius got the vision by the angel. And comparing me to angel, it's no big thing for me to go in Cornelius' house. Because God, holy angel, graced the man's house by entering in there and gave him a revelation as to what is about to happen in terms of him receiving salvation. The angel of God went in there before me. Hallelujah. God using his word to soothe the heart of hostility. The angel, the holy angel of God, was in the uncircumcised man's house. And as a result of that, me walking in the, who is much less than the angel, was only doing what God asked me to do. And two, not only that he went in there, which was the thing that filled their heart with rage, but he ate with them. He had fellowship with them. He embraced their company. I want to tell you this. One of the ways in which friends are really made is to share a meal with somebody. You don't necessarily have to be at your house, on the street, in a restaurant, anywhere. Share a meal with somebody. Make such a difference. Go inside the party shop, you want a party to buy, ask somebody if you could buy them one. Make such a difference. Cornelius knew they were coming. And Cornelius tried to be hospitable. Prepare a meal. And Peter and his six friends the six companions sitting down on their head. And after that, Peter expounded the gospel to them. And the Holy Ghost fell.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost fell upon the house, even before Peter was finished. And the conversion took place. And they were baptized with the Holy Ghost in Cornelius' house. And the change took place. God is directing things by his Holy Spirit. God is directing things by his Holy Spirit. Because Peter got his deliverance. The rest of the apostles need to be delivered. The rest of the apostles in Jerusalem equally need to be delivered. And God was working his thing right here. God was working his purpose right here to bring about deliverance in the heart of his servants and to flush out the biasness that lingers there for so long, to the extent that they have strong verbal communication to Peter because he went in Cornelius' house. God was working and God was using his words to address it. As Peter continued to speak, Peter continued to use the word of the Lord to expound the message that comes from God as we rehearse the whole sequence of events. And my God, I like what the last verse said. As Sister Barbara rightly pointed out, when they heard these things, they held their peace. Obviously, they allowed Peter to speak for a period of time. And when Peter was through, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then at God also to the Gentiles grant repentance unto life. The same brethren who was not too long ago boisterous against Peter, hostile, the word of God calm them down, because the word of God brings healing to their heart as well as how God healed Peter from this biasness. The head of the church, because we're going to read more about this, those who were scattered abroad, we want to find out next time we come, what is their feelings too? We'd like to know. Those who are scattered abroad. But for here, the disciples are staying back in Jerusalem. The apostles. And this is the crowd that is being addressed at this time. The apostles. And glory to God. After Peter gave his testimony, gave his experience, they went silent. And out of that silence, came a burst of worship to God for what he has done. I want to say to the church tonight that all our dispute that we might have between one another, all our dispute, all our shortcomings can be settled based on the word of God. There is something in the word of God to settle issues in the church. We're not always going to see things the very same way. But the word of God is a final court of appeal. It is a common ground by which we will see our different opinion come to a close. God wants to unify people. God wants to unify the Jews and the Gentiles. God wants to bring different people in the country and different people in the world who are not engaged in different acts of immorality. And so God wants to bring them too into the Christian church. And we, one of the times we see God on that move, we must embrace God for what he has done, as long as we have seen genuine repentance. And they too will be in that sheet that Peter saw, the composition of the unifying body of the church, made up of people of all walks of life, background, in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But we are washed. We are sanctified. We are justified. Hallelujah. What God has cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean.
Oh, God.
You see, the church is not yours. The church is not mine. That we can say, I want that person over there in the church, but I don't want that one down there. We cannot say that. The church does not belong to us. But God is reaching out to everyone. Everyone. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. There is room at the cross for you. There is room in his kingdom for you. It doesn't matter what you may have done. It doesn't matter what you may have involved in the past. There is room in the kingdom for you. What God has cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean. God wants to clean somebody and make you over to be a servant of his. Those disciples who entertained bias over a long period of time against the Gentiles, they were healed in their heart, just as Peter was. And they embraced the Gentiles, the people who they hated, they embraced the Gentile as my brother, as my sister. Welcome to the household of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As God unifies the church, the body of Christ, and place men in there where they belong.
Oh, God.
I trust that we will spend a little time and go over Acts 11 again, even to where we reached tonight, 18, and take a look on the rest of 11, because you're going to discover that this bias did not stop with only the apostles in Jerusalem. It went deeper. So God is on a mission here to straighten this thing out. And so next time we come again, we try to finish 11 as we identify some other truths that are involved in God's word. The Lord bless you. Shall we pray? Father, we just bless your name tonight. And we thank you for what you have done. The way in which, Lord God, you went about in bringing the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. We were not a people We who were without God in this world, you, Lord, have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and you have made of twain one new man. And so tonight we give you praise that we are counted among the beloved. We are in the household of faith, not because of what we did or could ever do, but because of your mercy and your goodness, we can be called the children of God. Tonight, as we study your word and see the way in which you go about it, Lord, to get Cornelius and the rest involved, and to cleanse the heart of the apostles, your servants, from this vastness that they carry over many years, we pray tonight that, Lord God, if there is any opposition towards anything contrary towards your work that might be lingering in us, remove it, Lord, and free us too as believers, so that we can behold the greatness of God, and we will continue to praise you. Have your way tonight with all of us who are here in this service. And I pray that your presence will continue to be with us as we seek after you, giving you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.